And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It is 8 minutes after 11 here on a Sunday night.
It's a Sunday night.
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
And this is program 74 of the WGN Radio Theater. It's May 1st. Happy May.
Happy May Day.
Yeah, it was nice in May weather out there.
Oh, it's gorgeous outside.
Gosh, it was pouring driving here today.
It was pouring for me, too. How do you like that?
Cars were going at a snail's pace to get here.
That was me. You were the one flying around me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are all here. Lisa Wolf, my vivacious co-host, is here. Mike Costella, my executive producer, is here. And Elif is in the booth there. Elif Garris.
Garris.
Garris. And she is, this is the second week we've worked with Elif. Elif, we are so happy to have you as our producer.
I'm so happy to be working with you nice people, too.
Thank you. Well, wait till you get to know us a little better.
Okay.
You may change your opinion.
One of us is nice, anyways.
So this is where we play classic radio shows every Saturday and Sunday night here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN. And we have a spotlight to Bob Hope. What a patriot Bob Hope was. We're going to talk all about Bob, and we're going to listen to him in three radio shows. His own show, The Bob Hope Show, and then Suspense. And then we'll hear him along with Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra in the Screen Guild Theater. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as Matilda in the computer-animated comedy The Angry Birds Movie, which is based on the video game.
Wow, see, the Angry Birds video game makes a fortune, so someone in Hollywood says, let's make a movie about it.
I never got sucked into playing that game.
Me neither. I don't play any video games.
I know, because you don't know how to download apps.
No.
I was thinking that, but
yeah,
I
have an iPhone, and it has zero apps on it.
I know that.
And it will always have zero apps on it.
That's okay.
Don't
we all have our limitations.
I don't want to cross over into the technology world. I want to be on this side.
I've noticed that.
All right. So what do you win?
What do you win? A $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza.
We give away great prizes here on the WGN Radio Theater. Now, here's a hint. You will hear this actress giving advice to Kristen Wiig's character in 2011's Bridesmaids.
You're a total catch, and any guy would be psyched to be your man.
All right, there she is. If you know who that is, give us a call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back with Celebrity Scoop, and let's hear that movie clip one more time.
You're a total catch, and any guy would be psyched to be your man.
Is that, I think we've got Bob on the line. Bob, I think that's good advice. What do you think?
Is that Maya Rudolph?
It is indeed Maya Rudolph, Bob. You are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can check out one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or look up their menu online at loumalnati's.com. Bob, thank you so much, and we hope you love that pizza.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Take care. Bob.
Thanks, Bob. And you know what? Perfect name for the show, because we're celebrating Bob Hope.
Yeah, Bob is in the air.
All right, so Bob Hope, he was he was one of the biggest comedians of all time, as you know, Lisa.
Sure.
And his career in broadcasting spanned 64 years.
Wow.
He performed on Broadway, radio, TV, movies, and traveled the world entertaining the U.S. military. This guy was really selfless. He would go all over the world to help our boys and girls in uniform. And this guy, what a patriot. His radio debut was in 1937. His sidekick was Jerry Colonna. He usually had guests on his program. And his radio show was sponsored by Pepsodent, Swan Soap, Chesterfield, and Jell-O. His radio show lasted until 1953. And then after his radio show, Lisa, he did a lot of TV specials. And he lived to be 100 years of age. He died in his home in Toluca Lake, California, at the age of 100. Like George Burns, they both lived to be 100.
Amazing.
So we're going to start things off, our spotlight on Bob Hope, with one of his radio shows going back to March 19th, 1946. This is broadcasting from his hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. Here's part one of the Bob Hope Show.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Tonight from his hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, we bring you the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. Thank you, well-fed relatives. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob back in his hometown of Cleveland Hope telling you folks in Ohio to use Pepsodent and your teeth will never look worn. You'll always be able to chew a lineman. After you start dating, you'll soon be marrying. It'll be a good alliance because there won't be any tiffing. And I hope you see their point. That's all local, but this is my hometown. Well, here I am in my hometown, Cleveland. Cleveland is all decorated for the sesquicentennial. Nice way of cleaning your teeth. Yes, sir, there are signs everywhere saying 150 years old, and I'm still trying to catch the guy who put them all under my picture. We had a wonderful plane trip in here on the Constellation that's Buck Rogers' dream come true. We came across in the stratosphere. In fact, we were so high, W.C. Fields flew escort for us all the way to Kansas City. What a trip. Over the Rockies, the stewardess served lunch. I said, why peppermint sticks for lunch? He said, that's celery. Your nose is bleeding. And once I looked out of the window and I saw a guy floating by in midair. I said, hey, what are you doing out there without a parachute? And he said, I don't need one. I'm Ray Milland. But I had a wonderful trip. I didn't feel a thing until we landed at Cleveland and the stewardess helped me out from under my seat. When we flew in over the city and I saw Cleveland, a lump came in my throat. It was that apple I tried to swallow over Albuquerque. But I want to tell you that Constellation has got every accommodation. In fact, when you're ready for breakfast, you stick your hand out the window and an eagle lays a fresh egg in it. The pilot kept saying the plane was as comfortable as your living room, and he was right, although I did feel sorry for the saxophone player who opened the door and stepped out after the milk. And when we arrived here in Cleveland, what crowds at the airport? The police had the ropes up, but I demanded a trial first. But I love this old town of Cleveland. Somehow, even the wind off the lake doesn't seem as cold as it used to be. Of course, I've got underwear now. I've got a brother here in the wholesale meat business. He had trouble with shortages, but he's getting plenty of meat now. The Cleveland Indians are selling him all their old ball players. And if Tris Speaker's listening, I'm only kidding. A good portion of my family still lives in Ohio. I got a brother doing fine down at Canton and another one doing five at Columbus. When I left Cleveland 10 years ago, my father said I would go a long way. In fact, he nailed the door of the boxcar shut just to make sure. Well, I lived in a neighborhood here where the people were poorer than church mice. And you know, church mice used to be awfully poor until Crosby made Going My Way. like that personally. And I went back and paid a visit to my old schoolroom and sat in my old desk. And there was the same old inkwell, the same old books, and the same old shaving kit. They're very proud of me out at Fairmont School, though. In fact, on my old desk is a bronze plaque that said, Bob Hope slept here.
Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. You'll never satisfy until the teardrops start. I tried to shower you with loving kisses, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging. My poor heart is sagging the way you tossed my heart around a crying shame. I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. Dreams apart, or you won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
Yes, sir. That was You Won't Be Satisfied, sung by Skinny Ennis, the only singer in radio who can make one lung sound like none. Edgar, step in. What did you think of that fast flight in from Los Angeles on the Constellation this morning?
Man, we came in so fast, I didn't even have time to take a breath.
Well, that didn't make any difference. Today wasn't your day to breathe anyway, was it? Huh? You know, but it's almost unbelievable, Skinny, that the Constellation could bring us from Los Angeles here in 11 hours and 40 minutes.
Bob, it didn't take 11 hours and 40 minutes, did it?
Oh, yeah. 7 hours from California to Cleveland and 4 hours through traffic from the airport to the Carter Hotel. Did it in the bus I was in anyway. Say, how did you like your accommodations on the Constellation coming in?
Well, not bad, but I was a little cramped.
Cramped? You shouldn't have been. I thought you'd be very comfortable in there.
Yeah, but those golf clubs take up a lot of room in the bag, too.
Can't understand it. I took the putter out. By the way, Skin. Say, while we're in Cleveland, I'd like to show you the street I was born on.
Street? What's the matter? Couldn't you afford a hospital?
Well, in those days, they had long traffic signals. But you know, Skin... you know, Skin, they even named a street after me here in Cleveland.
Well, so what? They named a street after me in North Carolina, too.
I know, but mine's not a dead end.
Man, how can you stand there with your hat off and say that?
Can you stand with your hat off? Well, shut my face, boy.
Hello, Skinny.
Well, Francis Langford, look at him. Hello, Francis.
How are you, Lester?
What did you say?
I said, hello, Lester.
Lester?
Yes.
Never let you look at my family album again. Francis, Skinny and I were just talking about the trip on the Constellation. Wasn't it wonderful?
I thought so, but surely you didn't have much fun pouting all the way.
Well, you'd have pouted, too.
Oh, Bob, the pilot couldn't open a window just so you could hold your paper windmill out.
Say, Bob, I meant to ask you. Were your folks glad to see you?
Not particularly, Francis. They were just as happy getting it through the mail. I send the big tube every week, you know. But I got a great thrill getting off the plane at the airport and seeing Major Berry and seeing all those people out there.
Well, I imagine so, but weren't you carrying it a little too far, running up and kissing that one man?
Well, you wouldn't understand, Francis. You didn't have a draft board. No, really, he was the mayor. Wasn't it nice of him to give me the keys to the city?
Yes, he said he thought that would be best.
He thought that would be best?
Mm-hmm. After you left last time, it was so much trouble digging those hairpins out of all the locks.
That couldn't have been me. I'm a paperclip man.
Well, it must have been interesting looking up the old landmarks you used to know.
Yeah, it's too bad so many of them are married. By the way, Francis, where are you staying?
Oh, I'm stopping at the Carter Hotel, Bob.
Oh, really? Well, I'm stopping at the Carter, too.
I know, but they gave me a room.
Oh, well, what do I care? The janitor's a pretty good gin rummy player. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a real pleasure now to bring you a friend of mine, a former golf partner, and one of the outstanding political figures of our state of Ohio, the governor, His Excellency Frank J. Lausche.
Thanks, Bob, and thank you, Democrats.
Welcome to the Pepsodent Show, Governor.
Thank you, Bob, and I can only say it's a pleasure for me to appear with one of America's most talented personalities.
No wonder this guy's governor. Oh, you didn't have to say that, Governor.
I know, Bob, but in my business, a vote is a vote.
All right, that's the first portion of the Bob Hope Show, going back to March 19th, 1946, from his hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. Bob used to talk, Lisa, a lot about politics. He is one comedian that could kind of rib the Democrats and the Republicans and governors and senators, and nobody really cared. It went right on, you know.
Times have changed.
Yes, they have. There's our familiar theme, Lisa Wolf. That means it's hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. Can you believe we're on WGN?
I still pinch myself. I'll pinch you, too.
You know what, folks? Here's the deal. Lisa and I have been doing a radio show since 2009, right?
Yep.
And it's a national radio show. We've been on the air together doing a show for all those years.
And we're still friends.
And we always used to say to ourselves, you know what would be really amazing? If we could have a radio show on WGN. Because WGN, I grew up being on this station with Eddie Schwartz all the time and playing classic radio shows. And I always used to be like, oh, man. One day I'd love to be on WGN.
We used to dream this for years.
She and
we
I,
would talk about this.
Right. We would sit around and we'd go, gosh, someday, wouldn't it be something? And
I didn't believe it.
Yeah. And we would dream about it. And then we'd talk about, you know, being on WGN at night, you reach literally 40 states plus parts of Canada. This signal is so powerful. And we get calls from all over the place. And so and then one day we got a call from Todd Manley, and he said, we'd like to meet and talk to you about, and I'm thinking to myself, how did that happen?
You know, I always tell you, Carl, you have some kind of a higher power when it comes to getting what you want.
Yeah, really?
Oftentimes.
Gosh, well, I want the lotto numbers.
Well, oftentimes.
I would like to be taller.
Yes, I know that. Here we sit in the WGN Allstate studio pinching ourselves.
I'll pinch you. One
too.
Chin instead of two. And see, trying to think what else.
Well, when things are important, we have a way of making things happen.
I don't think so. I think it was just, you know what? I think Todd, of course, is a very, very intelligent guy,
yes,
great programmer, and he knew that classic radio shows on this station would be popular because There's nothing like classic radio. I mean, if you like an audio book, I tell people this all the time. If you like an audio book, like if you listen to audio books, and that's a big business. Audio books are like hundreds of millions of audio books are sold a year. So if you like that, then you will love classic radio because it's not a single reader. You know, when you listen to an audio, I drive off the road listening to an audiobook.
Well, you and driving.
I drive off the road anyway, but with audiobooks, it's a single reader just kind of reading the story. With a classic radio show, it's fully dramatized. There's these amazing stars from yesteryear, so they're celebrity filled, and they have sound effects and music, and the theater of your mind is so powerful, right? It's like the most powerful muscle in the world, your theater of your mind.
Well, I also appreciate the fact that you and I can hear the same exact radio show and have a different picture in our mind.
And so could every one of our listeners.
Exactly.
It's so great. And so Todd said, hey, let's try something. And it's been doing well. People seem to like it, and they're telling.
And we appreciate our listeners because we went from Sundays to Sundays and Saturdays,
right.
And that's been really a great move for us.
And that's partially why we try to find offers like Me's Meals. It's giving our audience free meals, right? Me's Meals,
yep.
The special offers, and what you can do with Me's Meals. We'll get into it in a little bit, but if you go to Me's Meals website, which is M-E-E-Z Meals. You can order dinner for two delivered right to your home free. Now, that's just for the WGN Radio Theater audience. They don't do this for everybody else.
Nope.
And you just got to put the promo code radio. Stuff like that. We look for special offers, and we give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter every month. Dan Jaffe from Cat's Pride. So we try to find things to thank our audience along with playing the classic radio shows, right?
And have a little fun in between.
We do. All right, so on this hour, we're going to tune into Suspense with Bob Hope. And next hour, it's Bob Hope along with Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra in a good comedy. You won't want to miss that. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actress works for the Department of Justice in the action comedy The Nice Guys, set in the 1970s in Los Angeles.
Okay, you win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza if you could figure out who this celebrity is. And I'll give you a hint. She played Honey, who tried to seduce Garth in 1993's Wayne's World 2.
You know what I love?
What?
I love the way those big, thick glasses magnify your pupils.
Oh.
Look at me.
Huh?
Okay. So give us a call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you could name that celebrity, you will win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back with the WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
What? I love the way those big, thick glasses magnify your pupils.
Oh.
Look at me.
Huh?
Let's talk to Rob from Belvedere. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. I love your show.
Well, thank you. We love you for saying that you love our show.
Fantastic.
Rob, do you know who that celebrity is?
Kim Basinger.
You are right. And we were just saying she's not hard on the eyes. And that's a great clip.
She used to go out with Carl.
Yeah, right? I'll date her. I'll definitely date her.
No, she used to date Carl.
Oh, yeah. I wish.
Well, everybody did. So, Rob.
Right. I'm trying to go through
all women.
All women. I'm trying to date all women, at least one date.
Well, she's B.
That's a good
goal.
You
went through the B's.
Yeah.
Now we're on to
right.
C.
I'm into the C's.
But either way, Rob, you are a winner. And we hope that you will love a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's. Have a great deep dish pizza on us. And you can visit them at loumalnati's.com. And I hope you'll share it with me. Would you, Rob?
I will absolutely. Thank you very much.
You're Thank
welcome,
you for
Rob.
Calling.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I had to dump Kim Basinger. Basinger or whatever.
Basinger, I think.
Yeah, she's...
She was so early in the alphabet. You're on to C's and D's by now, right?
You know what it was? It was like...
the lips.
It was the long-distance relationship. It didn't work out.
Really?
You know, she... was always, you know.
You can't even think of what she was always doing. She was always, you know.
Yeah, she was always beautiful and gorgeous and sexy. And I just, you know.
It just was too much for you.
No, it wasn't enough. I mean, it wasn't enough.
Oh, not enough for you. You need more.
Yeah. And, you know, her private jet, she'd fly me back to and from Los Angeles. It just was too much flying around and stuff. So
yeah.
Decided to just had to.
So who's next?
Had to break up with her.
Who's next for you?
I think I started dating her right after Alec Baldwin and her broke up.
Oh, she and Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, we wish you luck on your next quest.
Well, we'll never know. I'm always, you never know, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time now for more Bob Hope fun. But this is a mystery with Bob Hope. And he did everything. Bob did drama, comedy. He was a very, very talented actor. You'll hear him in a good mystery here called Death Has a Shadow from May 5th, 1949. Here's a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Now, Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations present
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you Bob Hope in Death Has a Shadow, a suspense play produced and directed by Anton M. Leder. And now, Autolite presents Bob Hope in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Don't ever answer a telephone just because you've got nothing else to do, just because you're curious. I was sitting in my big red leather swivel chair, my feet on the largest mahogany desk money could buy. A bottle of the best scotch balanced between my special custom-built shoes. Everything the best. That's the way I like to operate. The gold lettering across my office window spelling out Harvey Warren, counselor at law. I liked it that way. It had dignity. Yeah, I had everything. I had a house that rambled for 14 rooms. I built that house for Lily. Lily. She was beautiful. From the top of her auburn hair to the tip of her pretty little toes. Yeah, I had it all. I had everything. Till the day my Lily was murdered. That's why I couldn't stand being home anymore. I could smell her cologne in every room, a touch of it on every chair. That's why I was at the office that night, with nobody but the bottle to keep me company. And that was the call I should have never answered. But at night, eight stories up in an empty office building, that ringing sounded urgent. Like it was the most important thing in my lonely little world. Hello?
Warren.
Who's this? Oh.
You know who this is.
Yes, Bolster.
No name, stupid. What are you doing at your office this time of night?
What do you want?
Have you got it?
Well, sure, I've got it. It's all ready for mailing. I'll drop it off when I leave.
Don't bother. I'm going to pick it up tonight.
But I told you I'd mail it.
I changed my mind. I'm coming over. I'll be there at 10 o'clock.
Oh, I can't make it tonight. I'm leaving. I'm just going out.
You'll make it, all right.
Yeah, but why all of a sudden?
Tonight, Warren, 10 o'clock. And, Warren, don't try anything.
What are you talking about? Why should I try anything? What could I try?
You could be cute enough to figure out something. You're that kind of a guy. So, don't try anything.
Something must have gone wrong. All I was supposed to do was mail him his money. What got into him? Why would he want to come to my office now, at night, when the building was empty? Couldn't be just the money. He was coming for something else. Something else. But what?
Police Department, Johnson.
Get me homicide.
Now, hold on. He wants homicide, extension 458.
Hello?
Homicide?
This is homicide.
Is Joe there? Lieutenant Joe Scarponi?
Who's calling?
Harvey Warren.
Oh, hello, Mr. Warren. Hope you've been feeling better.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I don't have much time. Would you get me Joe?
Well, he ain't here, Mr. Warren.
Well, where is he?
I don't know.
I've got to get to him.
Something wrong?
You've got to locate him, Mike.
Well, I've got a whole police department, Mr. Warren. Just say the word. What's wrong?
Only Joe. He's the only one that can help me.
Well, he may be calling in.
Then tell him to call me at my office, will you? Don't make any mistake, Mike. I'm at my office. I couldn't get it out of my mind. What had made Bolster switch like that? What had gone wrong? He must have figured it out and was coming over for just one thing. To kill me.
Lion Apartments.
Lieutenant Joe Scarponi, please. Well, where can I reach him? He must have left some kind of a message.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. He hasn't been in all evening.
Well, tell him to call Harvey Warren.
Yes, Mr. Warren.
At my office, understand?
Does he have your number, sir?
He's got my number. Don't make any mistakes. At my office. He's got to reach me before 10 o'clock. That's tonight, understand?
I'll tell him, Mr. Warren. Thank you.
Madge. I've got to try Madge. He's got to be at Madge's place. I should have thought of it before. Busy. That must be Joe. He's got to be there. That's Joe trying to get me. I've got to wait. I have to give him a chance to get through. Why doesn't it ring? Why doesn't he call? Can't wait. 6-9-4
Hello?
Madge, baby?
Oh, hello, Warren. What's this sudden devotion?
Oh, Madge, let me talk to Joe, and don't tell me he's not there.
Well, of course he's not here, Warren. What's the matter with you?
Madge, I got to find him.
Well, I am expecting him.
When?
Soon.
Don't give me double talk, Madge. When?
We've got a date, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock? That's too late, Madge.
What's the matter, Warren?
Where can I reach him? Where can I find Joe?
Well, did you try his hotel?
He's not there.
Well, call homicide.
He's nowhere, Madge.
What's wrong, Warren?
There's no time to explain. Help me find him, please.
I'll do what I can.
At my office. Don't forget it. My office. Before 10. Kept on calling. Everywhere. Every bar he'd ever had a drink. His favorite restaurants. Even the Turkish bath where he played handball and got his rub down. Joe was nowhere. I looked at my watch. It said 9:31. The clock on the wall showed 9:35. Now I wasn't even sure of the time. I couldn't afford to be wrong about the time.
At the tone, the time will be 9:35 and 10 seconds.
The clock on the wall was right. There wasn't much time. Even if I get a hold of Joe, it'd be too late. My mind was starting to play tricks, starting to tie my insides up in 100 little knots. Suppose Bolster got here early. Suppose he got here before 10 and no Joe. I got up in a panic. My shirt was soaked wet to my back. I could run, yeah. I could get away while it was still time. But then Bolster would really know something was wrong. Maybe he wasn't going to kill me. Maybe he was just coming for his money. I had to get rid of the hysteria. Had to get a hold of myself. No use playing guessing games. I opened the door. I was going to leave. I wasn't going to be a sitting duck for a guy like Bolster. At that time of night, just one elevator was in use. It was directly opposite my office door. The indicator over the door flashed numbers when the car was running. I went to press the button to signal for the night man. Before I could press it, the car started up. Somebody was coming up. I wanted to run. I didn't know where. I was on the top floor. My eyes went to the ceiling. Down the end of the hallway, there was a spiral ladder that led into a trap up through the ceiling. It must have been the opening of the roof. I started to run for it. I stopped. Silly. When all the time there was a stairway going down. I ran for the exit sign and ducked into the stairway. Down one flight, and I smacked right into it. A steel gate spread like an accordion across the bottom landing. The gate they always fastened in place at 9 o'clock. Trapped. I was trapped. And then I just stood there. Everything quiet. What happened to the elevator? Then I heard the door open. Downstairs, right below. It didn't come up to the eighth. It was the night man letting off the cleaning woman. I walked back up the steps. The light on the indicator showed the fifth floor. Then the indicator started flashing again. It was going down. Now was my time to signal the night man while he was still in the car. Before I had a chance, the telephone began to ring. It was coming from my office. Keep ringing, Joe. I'm coming. Just don't stop ringing. Hello. Hello, Joe.
Oh, ain't this Gladstone 2707?
That's right. Are you calling
for... Well, give me Sammy.
Who?
I want to talk to Sammy.
Oh, Right number, girlie. Wrong party. I looked at the clock. It was no use. Too late. Even if he did call, I started to go. I saw the bottle on the table. I had to take another drink. I felt a little better. Now I had to get out. Hello?
Hello. It's me again.
Look, girlie, there's no Sammy at this number.
I know, but you sounded kind of lonely. I'm lonely, too.
Forget it, will you? Don't tie up my phone, understand?
Sure, I know. You're waiting for a call, too?
Get off my number. I don't want this phone tied up.
Sure, I understand, but just in case, why don't you take my...
I started to go and wasn't going to stop, not for anything. Then I realized it might be too late. Suppose he was on his way up. Suppose he was watching the entrance. Why did that girl call back? What did she want? Then I knew it was a trick. A typical hoodlum trick. Bolster was using that girl to check up on me. Playing at cat and mouse. His way of holding me to the phone. Making sure while he was on his way up. A trick. 20 minutes to 10. The clock kept staring at me. The minute hand beating its way around the circle. 20 minutes to 10. That girl again checking up on me. Who did Bolster think he was kidding? He knew I had to answer that phone. Hello.
Warren?
Joe, you don't know how I've been trying to get you all night.
Yeah, I know. Your line's been busy.
Oh, come right over, Joe.
What's the matter?
There's no time to talk. Just get here.
Oh, well, I got a date, Warren. It's on my only night off. You know how Madge is.
Joe, this is a matter of life and death.
Whose life?
My life.
Oh, well, I'll be right there.
Before 10, Joe. It's got to be before 10.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Bob Hope in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
It's very cool to hear Bob Hope in a mystery and in a dramatic program. We're so used to hearing him in comedies, so it's a lot of fun to hear him on Suspense. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning every single Saturday and Sunday. We start things off at 11 p.m., 6 hours of classic radio programming every single weekend, and we're spotlighting Bob Hope. We're in the midst of tuning into Suspense. Let's go back now to May 5th, 1949, for Death Has a Shadow, starring Bob Hope in Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to a Hollywood soundstage Bob Hope as Warren in Death Has a Shadow, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
My eyes were drawn to the clock again. I watched the minute hand cutting down the time. If Joe came with a squad car, he'd be here in a matter of minutes. But it was his night off. Maybe he wouldn't be able to get a cab. I took another drink just for luck. I opened the door and listened for the elevator. It didn't take long. I went into the hallway. The light on the indicator was flashing. 2, 3, 4. Maybe it wasn't Joe. Maybe it was Bolster. How was I to know? I ducked into the stairway landing, watching. Joe!
What? Warren, are you nuts?
Oh, I've never been so glad to see you, to see anybody.
You know better than that, coming up from behind a guy. Say, you look terrible. What's wrong? Well...
Don't close the door, Joe.
Why?
When he comes, we can hear the elevator.
Okay. Now, what's it all about?
He's due here at 10 o'clock. He's a killer.
Who is a killer?
I have to start from the beginning.
You don't have much time.
But you won't understand unless I explain.
Okay, but don't start dramatizing. It's 9:45.
Well, we have to start with the day Lily was murdered. Remember I called you? And when you came, you found me sitting in the bedroom looking at her, her head hanging almost to the floor... The rest of her doubled up in the bed. Her auburn hair gently suspended like someone spun fine silk around where the bullet went through that lovely head. She was so beautiful. I was sitting there looking at her. And the sounds tumbling around my head. The photographers, the newspapermen, flashbulbs, all like a bad dream.
Look, can't you take the hair away from her face?
I'll cut your head off if you touch that body.
Let's see the gun.
Show him the gun, Mike.
It's a gun. What's there to say?
Well, we understand it's Warren's gun.
You understand nothing until it's official.
The coroner said it happened this morning, about 4 hours ago. Now, how about that, Lieutenant Scarponi?
Then quote him. Don't ask me. Mike.
Yeah?
They had enough. Get him out of here.
Oh, wait a minute. Not so fast. I want one more shot of Warren. Put that drink back in your hand, Mr. Warren, please.
Now, look, fella, don't overdo it.
This is no private affair, Lieutenant Scarponi.
Why don't you lay off?
Well, put the drink back in his hand.
Take it the way he is and get out.
We'd like to do it the way it happened. He had a drink in his hand.
It wouldn't look so good, Lieutenant, if the paper said you were covering up for a lifelong friend.
Mike, get him out of here.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Well, this is some mess, Warren.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Well, I loved her, Joe. You knew how I loved her. More than anything in the world. Now look at her.
Yeah.
You know we've been fighting. Last night was the worst that ever happened. So I ran out of the house.
What time?
Oh, right after dinner. I went down to the Silver Grill and had a couple. You can check on that.
Uh-huh.
And the Biltmore and had a few more. And I remember calling a cab on 7th and Hill. And then, so help me, Joe, that's all I remember.
What do you mean, that's all you remember?
Well, that's all. I drew a blank. We've known each other all our lives, Joe. Did you ever know me to black out?
Oh, that's not like you, Warren.
But that's what happened. I don't remember anything.
Until when?
Until I woke up and called you.
And where did you wake up?
Right here, in the bedroom.
In bed?
No, in this chair, just like I am now. I saw Lily, just like she is now. Blood on the floor. I know she's done for, my beautiful Lily. Then I get up to get a bottle. And I sit down again in this chair. I take one good long drink. I reach for the phone on the night table. I call you. I've been sitting here since, with a bottle.
Mm-hmm. And the gun, is it yours, Warren?
You know that gun is mine.
It was on the floor. It's the gun that killed her.
Joe, do you think I did it?
Well, I don't have to tell you how it looks.
I know how it looks. What I want to know is, do you think I did it?
I'll have to book you, Warren.
Oh, I couldn't have killed her, Joe. You know I couldn't. I loved her too much. I couldn't have killed her, Joe.
Before we get to trial, Warren, for your own good, you'd better start remembering.
Seems like a long time ago, Joe. I just couldn't remember what I'd been doing there in the bedroom after Lily was murdered. Couldn't even remember how I got there.
But 2 minutes ago, you were scared to death. You were trying to reach me every place in town while I'm here.
Do you remember that day in the courtroom?
What's that got to do with the killer who's on his way up here?
Quite a bit, Joe. That's what I'm coming to. But before he comes, you've got to know the whole story.
I know the whole story.
Not quite. Think back to that day in court, Joe. You remember how bad it looked for me? All the newspapers were sure I was done for because I couldn't remember where I was when she was killed. And I knew I was somewhere else when it happened. But all the evidence piled against me. Everybody sure I was a dead duck. You and Madge in court at my side, and the prosecuting attorney pressing the jury for the full penalty.
And the only defense offered by the accused is that he doesn't remember. He pleads not guilty, claiming temporary insanity. Forgetfulness as so conveniently happening to the accused cannot be construed as insanity. The state must therefore ask that the full penalty according to the law...
Madge.
Oh, Mr. Warren!
Yeah, get me some water.
Hey, pass out! The poor man, he just couldn't take it that soon.
This court will keep order. Order!
You all right now, Warren? You feel better?
Joe, I didn't do it.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Joe, I remember now. I remember. I didn't do it. I was out of town when it happened. I was out of town. I was out of town when Lily was murdered, Joe. And we proved it, remember? And I was acquitted. Like a bad dream, wasn't it?
Look, for the last time, Warren, is this what you call me up to your office for? What's this got to do with somebody coming over here to kill you?
Yeah, like a bad dream.
Okay, Warren, I've got a date with Madge.
Oh, no, Joe, you got a date with the killer.
Then who is the killer?
I'll never forget that day they acquitted me. I walked out of court a free man.
I know you weren't guilty. Your alibi proved you weren't guilty. I know all that.
Yes, Joe, but you don't know. I was guilty.
What? What did you say?
I was guilty.
Oh, you're losing your mind, Warren. You're nuts.
If I'm nuts, what does that make you?
Makes sense, Warren.
Lily thought I was nuts, too. Smart little woman. Thinking she could make a sucker out of me. She was going to leave me. Take half of all I had. That's what she thought.
How did you kill Lily that morning when you were in Glendale? I know you were in Glendale because your alibi proved it.
It was Lily who gave me the idea how to do it. You know how beautiful she was? Every Thursday, the maid's day off, she stayed in bed, slept the clock around, taking care of her looks. I began figuring. Lily all day alone. Lily in bed. All I had to do was hire somebody to kill her while I was out of town.
Then the guy coming up here...
That's right, is the killer. A three-time loser and very tough. I gave him my gun to do it with, and that's all there was to it. He's the man you want, Joe. He's on his way up here to kill me. Instead of doing that, you'll arrest him and clear your books on the Lily case.
So, this is why it was so important for me to get here, huh?
Well, you have to admit it was neat. Getting myself pinched, faking the blackout, stacking the evidence against myself, and forcing you to bring me to trial. I never had a blackout in my life, but it got me off. Great law, that double jeopardy. Puts you on the spot, though, doesn't it, Joe? You know I'm guilty, but there's nothing you can do about it. The law says I can't be tried twice for the same crime. You see, Joe, I happen to be one of those lawyers who knows his law.
Yeah. You've always been at the head of the class. Never worked too hard to get there. Just by looking over the next guy's shoulder and using him was the smart way. Yeah, Kitty, very neat.
I knew you'd be a good sport about it.
Maybe I'm just another dumb cop to you. Well, I don't like anybody making a sucker out of me. Especially a guy who's supposed to be my good friend.
Where are you going?
You got a date with this killer who's due here any minute. Well, I got a date with my girl. Good night, Warren. We're both going to keep our dates.
Well, Joe, what are you trying to do? You're a cop. You've got to pick him up. He's a killer, Joe.
I can pick him up after 10 o'clock, can't I?
Oh, you can't leave me, Joe. You can't leave me here alone.
I don't like your company.
Oh, he's going to kill me, Joe.
He's going to kill you. Now, why should he do that to a guy who pays so well for what he buys?
Well, I'm the only one who knows he fired that gun.
Gentlemen, all through for the night?
Yeah, I'm all through. He's gonna stay.
I'm going down.
Well, step in.
Stay where you are, Warren.
You can't leave me.
Let go of my arm.
Joe!
Close the door, mister. I said close the door.
Joe, he's gonna kill me. Joe.
Hello, Warren.
What? Bolster. It was Bolster standing there and leering at me. Joe, he's here! Joe!
Shut up. Don't do that again.
Where did you come from?
Well, you don't think I'd ever use a front door, do you? They build these places with fire escapes, you know. Now, into your office.
I started walking. I had to do something. Him right behind. Then I made a break for it, into the office. Then I saw the butt of his gun smash through the window. And then Bolster's hand reached through and unlocked the door.
Pretty cute.
Bolster, you're not going to do anything. You want your money. Don't you want your money?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The money comes first.
Well, it's in one of these drawers.
You know, you told me to do it with your gun.
I don't remember which drawer.
I couldn't figure it out. Why a guy should want me to plant his gun.
That's strange. I was sure it was...
Warren, where's the money?
I'm trying to find it.
Don't stall.
It was a white envelope.
You know, I didn't figure until you went to trial and they acquitted you. That's when I began to worry.
So many white envelopes.
But I still wasn't sure until tonight, when I got here, when I see what you've been up to. Find that dough.
I'm trying. I misplaced it.
And then it hit me. You was free and I was liable. No more tricks.
It should be.
Find that dough.
Here. Here it is.
On a desk. Lay it down. Yeah. Now, turn around.
Oh, don't you want to see if it's all here?
Turn around.
And like a dumb 6-year-old kid, I turned around.
Oh!
It was the funniest sensation. Hearing the shot. Feeling the panic. But nothing happened. I turned around. Bolster's eyes started to roll. His mouth opened like he had something to say. And then he dropped.
No, it didn't happen to you, Warren.
Joe.
The elevator opposite your door and the broken window, you can thank them both.
You're a very funny guy, Joe. That's some game you played. Is he dead?
He's dead.
Hey, what are these for?
I'm holding you for murder.
Murder? How can you be so dumb? I was acquitted, remember? You can't try me again.
I'm talking about this murder.
Are you crazy? I didn't shoot Bolster. I didn't even have a gun.
I thought you were one lawyer who happened to know all about the law. Or didn't you know that it makes no difference who shot him? The two of you were committing a felony. And the law says all accessories to a felony are equally responsible for all acts resulting from the felony. Unquote.
But Joe...
Including homicide, Warren, including homicide. I don't know all about the law like you, Mr. Harvey Warren. I only know just enough to get by. Let's go.
Joe, wait a minute. Joe, I think I'm going to faint. I'm going to black out, Joe. Wait. You see, I don't remember a thing, Joe. So help me, Joe. I don't remember.
Thank you, Bob Hope, for a splendid performance.
And thanks for the memory. Suspensefully you sat while I have been at bat. My thanks to Tony Leader for letting me be a villain for a change. And now, as a graduate of suspense, I'll be more interested than ever to hear radio's outstanding theater of thrills next week when that lovely Academy Award winner, Claire Trevor, returns to play in a story called The Light Switch, another gripping study in suspense.
Bob Hope will soon be seen in the Paramount picture, Sorrowful Jones. Tonight's suspense play was written by Joe Pagano with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, suspense will present such stars as James Stewart, Joan Crawford, Frederick March, and many others. So make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time here, Claire Trevor in The Light Switch.
You can buy Autolite Stayfull batteries, Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Suspense with Bob Hope in a dramatic story called Death Has a Shadow from May 5th, 1949. Suspense made the transition to television, but not so good on TV. It just, you know, Suspense was such a theater of the mind type of a program. You know, Inner Sanctum made the leap to television. So did Lights Out. None of them really gained the notoriety or the popularity that they were when they were a radio show. And why? Because that theater of the mind is so powerful, it's boundless, and you can't really do this kind of stuff on television. You can't do this story on TV and it look as good as on the theater of your mind. Right, Lisa?
Right, and that's exactly why we do it here.
Yeah, we love playing these shows for you. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, boy, Lisa fell asleep. I thought that we were going to be able to... This would have been about 4 or 5 weeks in a row that she was awake in the third hour. So I guess it's just me talking to you folks through this hour, because Lisa, she's out like a light. In this hour, we're going to tune in to a really funny episode of the Screen Guild Theater from 1947. It's called Too Many Husbands with Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, and Frank Sinatra. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll tune into that. This is all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
Lisa, wake up.
I'm still sleeping. Are you going to do the celebrity scoop for us?
No, we need you to do this.
Okay. This actor stars as the Mad Hatter as Alice returns to the world of Wonderland in Alice Through the Looking Glass.
All right. You can win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza if you can identify this actor. Now, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear him as the star of 1994's Ed Wood.
No, I'm all man. I even fought in WW2. Of course, I was wearing women's undergarments under my uniform.
All right, 312-981-7200. Name that celebrity. Win a pizza. We'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are still having loads of fun here, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll watch that movie. That's how he kind of talked in that movie clip.
That's okay.
No, I'm all man. I even fought in WW2.
Of course I was wearing women's underwear.
Under my uniform.
And now we can talk to Irene. Hi, Irene.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm going to talk like this.
I'm answering
Irene,
for Carl.
I'm going to talk like this the whole rest of the show.
That might be an improvement, right, Irene? Do you know that voice?
I say it's Johnny Depp.
I say you are right. And, of course, we are. I'm assuming you as well as I am a big fan of Johnny Depp. And you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, the best deep dish pizza. I hope you have a great pizza on us. And you can check out their menu at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much, Irene.
Thank you, guys. I never miss your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks,
we don't really miss it too many times
We're here usually. except for when Lisa sleeps through the third hour generally.
Yeah.
But thanks, Irene. We really appreciate
you.
Good night,
bye-bye,
Irene.
Now.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
She's probably never heard that.
No.
It's like I've never heard calamari sounds like an hors d'oeuvre.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. All right, so it's time now for a really funny Screen Guild Theater presentation of Too Many Husbands, which was a movie, and they dramatized it for radio on this episode. And it stars Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, and Frank Sinatra. It's sponsored by Lady Esther Cosmetics. Is there still... Yeah, there's Lady Esther Cosmetics still out there.
I think so.
No, Lady Esther? I think there are. I think there is Lady Esther Cosmetics still out there. We'll check. Truman Bradley doing the announcing on this. You're going to hear Frank Sinatra sing Time After Time. Yeah, we're going to get to hear a song by Frankie. All right, let's tune this in. Part one now of the Screen Guild Theater.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players and Somerset Moms' hilarious comedy about a shipwreck, a courtship, and an extra wedding, Too Many Husbands. It stars Bob Hope as husband number one, Frank Sinatra as husband number two, and Lucille Ball as the long-suffering wife. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Too Many Husbands. A year ago, Bill Cardew took a solo cruise in a ramshackle boat and disappeared from the face of the earth. His widow, Vicky, married Henry Lowndes, Bill's partner in the candy manufacturing business. This evening, Vicky picked Henry up at the office, and they are just returning home after dinner and a show. Peter, the butler, meets them at the door.
Good evening, madam. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Peter.
Hiya, Pete. Got a fire going for
us? Yes, sir.
Attaboy. Now you can trot along and throw yourself into the hay.
Very good, sir.
Say, you still reading that mystery, The Case of the Marinated Corpse?
I completed it this evening, sir.
You did, huh? Who knocked off the victim?
The butler, sir.
Oh, well, I'll come up later, Pete, and lock you in.
Very good, sir. Oh, I beg your pardon, madam.
Yes, Peter?
I neglected to mention that a gentleman called while you were gone and left this message. I took it down verbatim.
Oh, you're getting sloppy, Pete. Next time, take it down word for word.
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Peter. That will be all. Now, what gentleman could be calling me?
Oh, you must have met one once. Read the message.
Just got in on a tramp steamer. Will be there as soon as the Department of Health scrapes off my barnacles. Bill. Now, who could that be? Bill! No, it can't be. He's dead.
Of course he's dead. It must be a joke.
Oh, Henry, it can't be a joke. He must have been rescued somehow.
Well, so what? Who cares?
Don't you realize that he thinks I'm still his wife, not your wife?
That's peachy. Looks like you started getting married and forgot to say when.
Oh, you'll have to break the news to him, Henry.
Pardon me, madam, but the gentleman who called is here. He says...
One side, Jeeves. Vicky, come to Papa.
Oh.
Well, kiss me, baby. Now another one. One of those was in the script.
Oh, Bill, are you really alive?
Still some doubt about it. Okay, let's take it again. Another one, huh? Shame it's only a half-hour show. Cuddle up close, Vicky. Ah, that's wonderful. Let's just stay like this until Take It or Leave It comes on the air.
Oh, but that's next Sunday, Bill.
Well, what's a good Saturday show? If there's an echo in here, it's got an awfully sore throat.
That's Henry, Bill. Say hello to Henry.
Hi, Henry. Say, keep cuddling, kid. Gosh, it's good to be back.
Oh, Bill, I still can't believe it. How did you get back? What happened?
Oh, really nothing to it. My boat just sank in the middle of the ocean. I wise-mulered to the desert island. Yes, I just wise-mewed right through there. That was me. And for almost a year, all I ate was fish. Nothing but fish.
Did you have a man Friday?
No, on Friday, more fish.
Poor Bill.
Oh, I'm not in such bad shape. Look at these muscles. Know how I got them?
How?
Well, the only thing left to my boat was 10-foot of chain in the anchor. I used it for a yo-yo. You want to look at my muscles, Henry?
No, thanks. The doctor told me to avoid excitement.
I see. Incidentally, Hank, old man... Hank, old man.
Yes?
Isn't it a little past your bedtime? Your Ovaltine must be boiling by now.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I could manage to stay up a little while longer.
Oh, don't force anything, kid.
Hello, Bill, tell us some more about your experiences. Your message said that you got picked up by a steamer, tramp.
That's tramp steamer and cut it out. Well, see you tomorrow, huh, Hank? Come on. Come on, Vicky, honey.
Bill, I think Henry has something to tell you.
More? This kid's getting to be quite a chatterbox. Okay. Okay, son, tell me, but remember, we're on the air.
Hardly know where to begin.
Well, I bet it's something about business, huh?
Oh, sure, that's it. Remember our best-selling candy?
You bet. The All-Day Delight?
That's right. The sucker that improves your pucker. And do you remember Peanut Rapture, the bar with glamour and every goober?
Yeah.
Well... Well, sir, there used to be 11 and a half peanuts in every bar, and I've cut it down to 10 and a half.
No!
Yes. And I've got the slogan, watch for the day, the 7th of May.
Oh, great work, Hank, and good night.
Bill, Henry has something really important to tell you, and he'd better tell you now.
And it better be important. Come on, let's hear about it.
Well, I'm married, Bill.
No fooling. Who's the screwy bride? No, wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Let me guess. Myrtle?
No, you see...
Agnes, Bertha, Carolyn, Daisy, Elma, Frances, Gracie, Hildegard, Imogene?
Was Henry acquainted with all those girls?
Are you kidding? Dorothy Dix used to write to him.
Oh, wait.
I can't get over it, Hank. Gosh, some of these days you might even become a father.
So, that's the kind of a man I married. A wolf.
Yeah, he's the biggest... What? Who married?
Bill, old man. I've got something important to tell you.
Oh, so that's it. You've been hanging around here like a salami in a delicatessen because you live here, huh? You're her husband.
Well, I'm the nice one.
I can't believe this, Vicky. Did you really marry him, or did you just miss a question on truth or consequences?
Oh, but I thought you were dead, Bill, and I was lonely.
Lonely? Why didn't you join the Elks or something?
Can't you understand? I loved you so much that when they told me you were dead, I went all to pieces and married Henry.
Thanks for the fanfare, kid.
Well, I didn't mean it that way, Henry. You've been wonderful to me.
Oh, I understand, Vicky. I'm out of your life, forgotten. You found happiness, and I'm just a gopher in the garden of love. All right, I'll go.
Oh, please, Bill. We don't feel that way about you at all, do we, Henry?
Oh, I don't know now. I think he's got hold of something there.
Well, you've got one too many husbands. You'll just have to trade one of us in to Madman Muntz. Make up your mind, Vicky.
Not now, Bill. We're tired and upset. Let's get a good night's sleep and face the problem in the morning. Henry, you will sleep in the guest room with Bill. Good night, my men.
And this is what I dreamed about on that desert island.
Come on, lover boy.
So this is the guest room. My, my.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, it's gotten frillier since I was here. Used to be a room where a man could undress without feeling ashamed. How about a pair of pajamas? Any of mine left around here?
Nope. I gave all your stuff to a tramp.
And on you it looks good. Where do I sleep?
There's the bed.
You mean we've got to sleep in the same bed?
Aren't these tears in my eyes telling you?
I'm the guy who's got trouble. Last time I slept with you, I woke up black and blue.
That's the night I dreamed I was taking chances on a punch board, remember?
Yeah, this is quite a bed. No wonder you're so puny, Henry. You haven't been eating your grape nuts.
Well, how do you know?
You sneaked them upstairs and put them in this mattress.
Why don't you stop beefing? Was there a nice, comfortable bed on that desert island?
Well, no, nothing but palm trees.
Okay, so there's a chestnut tree in the yard. Go out and hang on your tail. Who is it, a friend or another husband?
Come in.
I thought I'd see if you boys were all right.
Oh, I can't complain. Of course, I could use a pair of pajamas. The water on my knee has just turned into a popsicle.
Oh, poor Bill. Where are your pajamas, Henry?
I won't tell.
Now, I know they're in the second drawer. Go on, get a pair for Bill.
Oh, all right. But they'll be much too big for you, Whiteside.
You get it. Vicky, this is the first chance I've had to tell you how wonderful I am. I mean, how wonderful you are. Look, forget about Henry. You'll have to forget about one of us anyhow. I hear they're going to start rationing husbands.
Hey, what are you whispering about?
We weren't whispering.
No, I was just showing her where a barracuda bit me.
You mean where he bit your back?
Well, a fella's got to eat.
Please, Bill, I don't want my husbands to quarrel. Give him the pajamas, Henry.
Here, take them.
Well, good night, boys. I just wanted to be sure you were all right.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't feel very good.
No? What's the matter?
Oh, deadly tropical fever. I've got it all through my body.
Couldn't think of a better place for it.
Put your hand on my head, Vicky.
All right. Why, it's not at all hot, Bill.
It will be. Just keep your hand there.
Hey, you know, I don't feel so good myself.
You don't? Stick out your tongue, dear.
Well, that's no fun. You held his head.
You know, I don't believe either of you are a bit sick. Now go to sleep and we'll settle everything in the morning. Good night, boys.
It is now the following morning. Bill and Vicky are at the breakfast table. Henry has not yet appeared.
Coffee, dear?
Thanks. Fine thing. My first night home and I sleep in the guest room.
How many lumps?
About eight. Where'd you get that mattress anyway?
I wonder what's keeping Henry.
Well, he's pretty tired. He stayed up all night to watch me.
Really? What for?
I walk in his sleep. Pass me some more of that puffed rice, huh?
Oh, good morning. How did you sleep, Angel?
Great lover.
I'm talking to Vicky, Icky.
Peter, you may bring in Mr. Lowndes' breakfast now.
Yes, madam. Good morning, Mr. Lowndes. Here are your eggs, sir. Shall I serve them?
It looks silly hatching them.
I think he can do it. You know that, don't you? Are you sure six eggs would be enough, old man? We can always put a couple of more chickens on the swing shift.
Why don't you lay off? Why can't you let a guy enjoy a quiet breakfast with his wife?
Don't forget that she's my wife, too.
Why, Peter.
I'm frightfully sorry, ma'am. I guess I'm a bit old-fashioned.
Oh, you mean what Mr. Cardew just said.
Yes, madam. The arrangement does sound rather sophisticated.
Well, it really isn't, Peter. You see, Mr. Cardew is my first husband.
Oh.
Yeah, he was supposed to have been drowned at sea, but wasn't, unfortunately.
No, I wasn't. You see, I had too much to go on my Pepsodent contract, and the Lieber brothers swam out and saved me.
Really?
You see, Peter, this is a very involved problem, and I'm afraid it's only the beginning.
Oh, madam, not a third one.
No, I haven't thought of that, but I can see how it could be habit-forming.
Well, I once knew a young woman who collected seashells, and it got a dreadful grip on her.
Well, tell us more, Peter.
Pull yourself together, Pete. The whole thing will be settled by tomorrow.
I hope so, sir. Either one of you gentlemen goes or I go.
Oh, stop acting like an old maid.
It's not that, sir. I simply won't shine four shoes every morning.
Everybody's got a union, isn't
it? I wake you up.
Thank you.
There, you see.
Thank you, Peter.
Quite a lot of ad-libbing going on in this episode of Too Many Husbands, starring Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, and Frank Sinatra on the Screen Guild Theater. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Yeah. You know, you came up with something very interesting, Lisa Wolf. I'll tell you what, you are a very smart young lady. You know that?
Smarts.
You're very smart.
Thanks, Carl.
You're beautiful. You're vivacious.
Wow.
You're smart.
I don't believe you.
And you have very deep dimples.
Yes.
And I will say this about Lisa said this. She said, you know what? I'll bet you our listeners out there in Radio Land probably think that this offer for Mies Meals is too good to be true. You know that?
Well, the reason I say that is, you know, it costs them a lot of money to send dinner for two people. There's steak, there's chicken.
And deliver it to them.
It's high-quality food. It's all prepared. And then they send it by messenger in an insulated bag with ice packs. The messenger pulls up to your door and brings it to your front door. That does sound too good
right.
to
so
be true.
So it's like, okay, well, how could Mies Meals send
someone. How can
someone,
they afford that?
Yeah, to send a dinner for two delivered to our house without any strings attached.
Steak and chicken and fish and fresh vegetables.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, and it's so healthy. And you know what? When you order out or order in, the food usually is like not good for you. This is fantastic food for you. Very healthy. But let me tell you why. They can do this. Here's why they can do this. They do pay for all this. They pay for all of this for you when you want a dinner for two and delivered to your home free. There's no strings attached. You don't have to pay a penny if you enter the code radio when you go to MeesMeals.com, MeesMeals.com. But here's why they do it. Because they hope that a certain amount of the people that try it for free, they hope everybody wants to reorder, but you know what? Not everybody's going to reorder. But here's the thing. They are so sure that you will like it that you will add it to you. Maybe you won't order every day or every week or even every month, but you may order every once in a while. Instead of fast food, you may say, hey, you know what? I'm signed up with Mies. Instead of ordering a pizza or some burgers in, I will have some healthy food delivered. And they hope that you will become a customer. But you know what? There are no strings attached. You can get Mies Meals, a dinner for two, sent to your home, delivered to your home, absolutely free. Right?
Yeah, I feel pretty fancy when the messenger pulls up with my big insulated bag full of food.
Fresh,
healthy, delicious food that I have chosen from a menu, and it's customized to my taste and my likes.
Right.
That's pretty exciting.
So this is a limited time offer. I'm not sure how much longer we're going to be able to do this, but you should take advantage of it, folks. So tomorrow, you should, or even tonight, go online and check it out. And just go to Mies, M-E-E-Z, meals.com. And there's like 10 or 15 things on there for dinner. Always every week they change it up. There's something new every single week. And just order your dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. Make sure you put the promo code radio.
And the two things that I ordered for this week are herb roasted chicken with fingerling potatoes and sweet basil chicken tacos.
Right.
So, I mean, that sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great. All right. So check that out. All right. Let's get back now to the Screen Guild Theater presentation of Too Many Husbands starring Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, and Frank Sinatra.
Even Peter is shocked because I have one husband too many, and we've got to do something about it.
You're right, Vicky. I'll kill Henry this afternoon.
Darling, you've got to choose between us, and I'll help Bill pack.
Oh, I didn't sleep a wink last night. I just tossed in bed thinking and thinking and thinking, and finally I decided that...
Yes?
That I couldn't make up my mind.
Oh.
But the time has come. I must make a decision now.
Good. Good, and I hope the loser will have the decency
What'd
to join
you say?
The... I said good, and I hope the loser will have the decency to join the Foreign Legion. Tell me, Bill, if
What's
you
that?
Lose, will you join the Foreign Legion?
Will I do what?
Will you join the Foreign Legion?
Well, I'll meet you halfway. I'll go down to the library and read Beau Jest.
Stout fellow, aren't you?
It's please,
just the way this
boy.
Suit fits. Stop
please.
That.
Now, just sit there, both of you, and don't say a word. Just let me look at you a little while.
Well, look at us, Vic. Vicky, darling, while you're deciding, I only want you to remember that I came to you in your darkest hour and gave you all the love in my heart. And I only want you to remember that.
Honey.
And that our life together... and that our life together, if you choose me, will be as happy as it is in my power to make it. I thank you.
Don't give him the Oscar yet. Wait a minute.
Oh,
what a speech. Isn't that nice?
He did it up so well, didn't he?
Hello, Vic.
Henry.
What, honey?
Henry, you're
what,
so
Henry?
Sweet.
Oh, that's Hen, yes. Yes. That's you, Henry. Listen, Vicky, all I want you to... It's a grand line. I don't know why I ignore it like that. All I want you to remember, Vicky, is our first hour together in the tunnel of love at Coney Island. And you swam back. You were peachy.
Oh, dear, this is so difficult. If only one of you were good-looking or intelligent, it would be much easier.
My agent read this stuff.
That's right. Intelligent, eh? Say, William, old man.
Yes?
You don't happen
Where'd
to know
you
how
go?
To...
Oh.
You don't happen to know how to...
Yes, sir. Yes, Hen.
You don't happen to know how to spell pithecanthropus by any chance.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yes.
Pithecanthropus.
I'll repeat it for you.
Is that a California town? Pithecanthropus,
no,
yes.
Pithecanthropus.
I like the way you say it, too.
Yeah, pithecanthropus. It is the missing
Awful
link.
Awful time to get lower plate wobble, isn't it?
You know what it is,
Let's
don't
go.
You?
Bill just reached for his razor blade. But what is it? What is you know, it? What's
it's
that?
The missing link between man and ape. How do you spell it?
C-R-O-S-B-Y.
Now, you see, Vicky, with me, big words are everyday conversation.
Yeah, well, with me, it's muscles. Can you jump over the breakfast table?
Huh?
You heard me. Can you jump over the breakfast table?
What for? I can wait till the butter comes around to me.
Yeah. Well, I say you can't. Not that it's anything to a man of my athletic prowess.
Well, if there were a reason for my jumping over the table, I could do it, too.
Watch this, you armchair athlete. Give me a little room, Vicky. Here I go. Remember me, I'm the one that jumped. We better get off the air before the sound man destroys himself. Who left that tall spoon in the coffee cup?
I don't believe you made it, old man.
Bill, darling, are you hurt?
Oh, my. Yes, I am. Hey.
What?
What's that on the floor right there?
Why, it's just some puffed rice, dear.
Thank goodness. I thought it was my teeth.
Playing games. Oh, this is hopeless. I can see right now I'll have to separate you two boys. That's the only way I'll ever come to a decision. It's like old times, isn't it, Bill?
Uh-huh.
Remember how we used to walk in this park together when I was married to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, this is what I get for going away and letting you fall into the clutches of a rat like Henry.
Oh, please, dear, you're talking about my husband.
What do you think I am, Uncle Ramus? It was hard enough on that awful island a whole year just thinking about you, remembering the way you used to kiss me.
Put your arm around me, Bill.
One night I dreamed we were getting married all over again. You had the same ribbon in your hair. You wore the same leopard skin coat. I put my arms around you. I kissed you, and then I woke up.
Oh, poor Bill.
And the dream was so real, even after I woke up, I thought I was still kissing somebody in a leopard skin coat. I was, too. A leopard.
Put your arm around me again. Kiss me. Oh, Bill, I haven't felt this way since you drowned.
Will you quit calling me dead? I ain't dead. I'm just holding this expression till they pay off my life insurance.
Now I know, Bill. It's you I love.
Oh, hooray! Tonight we celebrate.
Well, but one of us will have to be brave and tell Henry.
Well, let me know what he says.
Oh. Poor Henry.
Yeah, poor Henry. Well, at least he'll have the peanut bars. We'll give him the whole goober business. Just think, 20 million nuts to him. Just think.
Why, darling, what are you doing here at the office? Don't tell me you're taking an interest in the candy business.
Henry, there's something I must tell you.
Say, I'm sure glad you dropped in because I've got something to tell you, too.
Oh, but this is important.
Well, so is this, darling. Listen.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You have kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky to be loving you.
Oh, Henry.
That's how I feel, Vicky. Now, what did you want to tell me?
Only that I love you, Henry.
That's the way to talk. Tonight we celebrate. Tonight we tell the whole world.
Yes, darling.
Wait till Bill hears this. Ow! He'll cut off his curly hair and weave himself a new mattress.
Oh, poor Bill.
Yeah. Poor Bill.
Oh, thanks for the memory.
Just a second. What are you doing here? All right, one at a time. What are you doing here?
I have a date with Vicky.
You have a date with her. That's a pretty good kid. Yes, sir. That's pretty good there, boy.
I hope so. Oh, I get it. She hasn't told you yet, huh?
Told me what?
Well, Bill, Vicky decided this afternoon, and we're going to get married. And you can either divorce her or die again, but this time you've got to do a better job.
Look, am I crazy? Henry, this afternoon, Vicky promised to marry me.
Holy smoke, you too?
Don't you see? She handed us both the same routine.
Well, how do you like that? I'll be a...
You always have been, old boy. Now, look. What do we do now?
She isn't worthy of either of us, Bill.
You're right, Henry.
After all, she's only a woman, isn't she?
That's all.
Why, there must be a million others just as attractive.
Sure.
100 million.
You bet.
What's she got that any other woman hasn't got?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
That was fun. What do we play now?
Bill, old man, we've got to stick together.
Yes, sir, you're right, pal. What do you say she doesn't get either of us?
It's a deal, Pod. When she comes in, we walk out. Together.
Shake. I always wanted to see the Sahara Desert. Now I'll see it with you.
Remember now, solid front, pal.
You said it, pal. Hello, Vicky.
Why, Bill. Oh, and Henry. My... both of you.
Yes, Vicky. Henry and I have talked things over. You've toyed with us, Vicky, like an octopus toys with a... what is an octopus toy with?
Another octopus.
Yeah. You know, he's studied, hasn't he?
But I didn't mean to toy with you. It's just that it's been so hard to choose.
Well, we've made the choice for you, darling. Henry and I are going to the Sahara.
Goodbye, Vicky.
Wait, you can't do this. Please, I'll decide.
This way to the Greyhound. This way here.
Goodbye, Vicky.
No, come back. Come back. Please come back.
Well, get a good night's sleep, Bill. We're taking a long trip tomorrow. See you in the morning.
Good night, Henry. Well, why not?
Bill!
Vicky, I had to come back. I had to see... Uh-oh.
Hello, Bill. I guess I beat you back from the Sahara Desert, huh?
Well, hold your hats, folks. Here we go again.
Thank
Thank you, Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope, and Lucille Ball for your delightful performances in tonight's play.
I have the boys' permission to speak for them, Mr. Bradley, in saying that we consider our yearly appearance on this program as one of the really enjoyable privileges of belonging to our profession. We are all familiar with the fine work being done by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, and we know that work is supported largely by this program.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present one of the funniest pictures of the year, Stork Bites Man. It will star Jackie Cooper, Anita Louise, and Gus Schilling. Be sure to listen. Too Many Husbands was produced and directed by Bill Lawrence and was presented through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures, producers of The Guilt of Janet Ames, starring Rosalind Russell and Melvin Douglas. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Lucille Ball appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Sea of Grass, starring Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, and Robert Walker. Bob Hope appeared through the courtesy of Pepsodent and is currently being seen in the Paramount picture My Favorite Brunette. Frank Sinatra can currently be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn musical It Happened in Brooklyn, also starring Katharine Grayson, Peter Lawford, and Jimmy Durante. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So, remember, ask for the largest size. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild show is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Next week, part of the country goes on daylight saving time. If your city remains on standard time, the Lady Esther Screen Guild show will be heard 1 hour earlier. Check your local newspaper for time. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I think I talk a lot. Did you hear how much he talked at the end there, Truman Bradley?
No,
he's just
I
going
think it's
on
all
and on and on and on. Truman Bradley doing the announcing there, sponsored by Lady Esther. I guess there is no Lady Esther.
We had a listener text in and say it's now Estee Lauder, which makes sense.
Estee Lauder.
Right.
Well, that's not Lady Esther.
Well, no, but she said, no, what she said was...
Yeah, it's like a perfume or something.
Well,
it's very strong perfume.
But they, it's a whole makeup line. It's a very popular line.
I thought Lady Esther was still around, but I guess not.
Estee Lauder.
All right, so that was Too Many Husbands, starring Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, and Frank Sinatra. It's kind of interesting. We talked about Bob Hope earlier. You know, he's, of course, known as a comedian, and he was really good in that dramatic episode of Suspense there. Now, in this show, Lucille Ball... She started out as a dramatic actress. She was not a comedian.
And again, she can do it all just like he can.
Yeah, but of course, then she, I mean, in her early career, did dramatic. She was an MGM girl. I mean, she was under contract with MGM doing dramas. Mm-hmm. And then she became Lucille Ball,
right. And
this TV icon, this comedian. And then Frank Sinatra, of course, he did both. He did comedy and he did dramas. And he had his own radio show, too. What was the name of Frank Sinatra's detective show? Do you remember?
No.
Rocky Fortune.
Oh, yeah, Rocky Fortune. I did know that.
And, of course, he was on Your Hit Parade for many years. He was the lead singer on that. And he was chairman of the board,
old
Blue Eyes. I hope you enjoyed Too Many Husbands from April 21st, 1947 on the Screen Guild Theater. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.